Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I've been going through an evolution on this issue. And I had hesitated on gay marriage, in part because I thought civil unions would be sufficient. But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are in incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together, at a certain point, I've just concluded that, for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
That's President Barack Obama speaking earlier this week with Robin Roberts of Good Morning America, finally announcing at long last his support for same-sex marriage. Came as no surprise to anybody. The question as to why he did it, no one probably will ever really know, but he has now affirmed what many people believed and what his policies have reflected for the last 4 years, his support for same-sex marriage. Joining us to react to the president's announcement to talk about what it actually means, what the president has taken on here, with regard to his support for same-sex marriage, Dr. Albert Mohler. He's president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and author of several books, including Culture Shift, Engaging Current Issues with Timeless Truth, and Desire and Deceit, The Real Cost of the New Sexual Tolerance. Dr. Mohler, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It's always great to be with you, Todd.
What's your general reaction to the president's explanation for, as you have put it, kind of the final evolution of his position on same-sex marriage?
Well, in essence, so it just ratifies what we have known all along. The president has been dropping every significant hint for the last 4 years that he actually is in favor of the legalization of same-sex marriage, but he has given public statements to the fact that he, at least in terms of his personal views, was not. But as I made clear in the article I posted earlier this week, the president's now for what he was previously against, but he was for it before he was against it. Back in 1996, when he was running for state office in Illinois, he signed a statement saying that he was in favor of the legalization of same-sex marriage and would oppose any effort to prohibit it. So the president's come full circle, and it's clear that he has now arrived at the position publicly that that he's been encouraging others to assume he had all along.
Here's what President Obama had to say about and to supporters of traditional marriage.
I think it's important to recognize that folks who feel very strongly that marriage should be defined narrowly as between a man and a woman, many of them are not coming at it from a mean-spirited perspective. A bunch of them are friends of mine, pastors and people who I deeply respect. But I think it's important for me to say to them that as much as I respect them, as much as I understand where they're coming from, when I meet gay and lesbian couples, for me, I think it just has tipped the scales in that direction.
Dr. Mohler, sounding magnanimous, what does the president mean here?
Well, I think the most fascinating thing about that is that the president is critiquing a position that he held publicly on Wednesday morning. So, in other words, when he says, I'm going to talk to people who disagree with me, he's talking to himself as recently as 2 days ago. So, in other words, what you have is the president now repudiating a position that he held 48 hours ago. It's an amazing thing, actually. And if you're president of the United States, you have an enormous platform. You have a 24/7 microphone. And this president is now in the position of sounding magnanimous to a position he held Wednesday morning. And to me, it's just politically and in every other way ludicrous. But nonetheless, he takes it right back by more or less saying, now he's enlightened enough to follow his own logic that his experience of gay and lesbian couples has led him to see the light. But again, that is as of Wednesday of this week. So, the president is an instant convert to a position that he held back in 1996, but is denied from 2004 to the present. It's an amazing situation. And unfortunately, it is a diversion, in one sense, from the very real issue of what same-sex marriage represents to this culture.
Do you think he does really understand the principled opposition to same-sex marriage, the principled support and defense of natural marriage?
You know, Todd, that's a very good question. And I would invite people to look at the president's statements over time, especially from 2004 to the present. Every statement he makes is about his personal judgment, as if the issue is a personal preference, as if this is simply an emotional argument. He has made no serious moral case either for or against the legalization of same-sex marriage. So he's speaking about this as a matter of personal preference. This is one of the symptoms of our decayed ability to have a moral conversation, because he's not really dealing with it as a serious moral issue. Serious morality deals with what is right and what is wrong. His understanding of morality, both in his statements when he was against gay marriage and in his statements when he's for gay marriage, are about his feelings. That's a very different conversation.
Now, he does not imply, but he does kind of leave things unspoken, leaving the impression, one could infer, that the president believes that opposition to same-sex marriage is purely religious. He does mention pastors and religious opposition.
Yes.
Is that true?
Well, of course it's not true, but it might be true in his sight, because looking back at it, there's some things that should haunt us. For instance, his statements about his belief before Wednesday that same-sex marriage should not be made legal, that marriage should not include with the so-called same-sex marriage, his statements were deeply rooted, he said, in his religious convictions, Christian convictions, that, as he articulated it. So what you have there is that evidently he identifies that opposition to the opposition coming from the church. Now, the reality is that the Christian church may be the last institution on earth that actually does have an honest and straightforward and accurate understanding of marriage. But that's not actually true at this point. There are many people in this society who understand that marriage is something, even if they just see it as, historians and sociologists and others have seen it through the ages, as the essential central institution of civilization itself, and for all kinds of reasons don't want to tamper with it. There are some cultural conservatives that have that concern, that and some of them would not be believing Christians.
Dr. Moeller, I'd like your reaction to the president talking about the difficulty of discussing the issue of same-sex marriage with his own daughters.
You know, Malia and Sasha, they've got friends whose parents are same-sex couples. It wouldn't dawn on them that somehow their friends' parents would be treated differently. And frankly, that's the kind of thing that prompts a change of perspective. You know, not wanting to somehow explain to your child why somebody should be treated differently when it comes to the eyes of the law.
Now, Dr. Moeller, the president doesn't want to have to explain to his daughters why some of their friends' parents can't be married under current law. Does he owe the American people an explanation as to why they should be married?
Yeah, how he relates to his children is his business. How he relates to marriage is and to the American public is the business of all of us. And by the way, Christian parents are going to be in the same position. This is a part of our responsibility. We're going to have to explain to our children why things are, why A is A and why B is B. And when it comes to, you know, our sons playing on a little league team and over here is a friend who's got two mommies, you go to the PTA meeting and there's a kid who's got two daddies. Clearly, that's going to require some explanation. But what this president is saying is that he's unwilling to say to his daughters that there is a difference. And so he says, I in fact, just listening to the president's words as you replayed them there, what he says is, I just don't want to have that conversation with my daughters and explain why there's a difference. Well, he's trying to imply there isn't a difference. But, you know, the fact is his daughters are still going to know there is a difference. And so, you know, what this really demonstrates, Todd, is the fact that what the gay rights movement wants with marriage is not just marriage. As a matter of fact, this has been an open admission by many who've been calling for same-sex marriage. What they want is the normalization of homosexuality. And marriage is a huge instrumentality to get to that normalization. But at the end of the day, I don't care how much President Obama or for that matter, other cultural liberals say there isn't a difference. They know there's a difference, and their children know there's a difference. And, you know, quite frankly, we all know there's a difference. Now, arguing about what that difference means, that's going to be a very long conversation. But it's just not honest to say there's not a difference.
If President Obama asked you about what Scripture has to say regarding same-sex marriage, briefly, what would you tell him?
Well, I think there are two tracks to that discussion. The first is, what does the Scripture say about marriage? And the most clear thing possible that's revealed in Scripture about marriage is that it's the union of a man and a woman before God. That God gave marriage as one of his good and gracious gifts, one of the most magnificent gifts he gave his human creatures, and it's a gift given in the covenant of creation, in the order of creation. God gave to all humanity the gift of marriage. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So that's the first thing, and every word of Scripture ratifies that understanding that it's a heterosexual institution. It's not even in the imagination of the Scripture that it could be anything else. The second thing has to do with the fact that you can't separate the relationship from the sexual acts that are involved. And, you know, frankly, this is uncomfortable territory, but that's just what we end up having to discuss if we're going to have an honest discussion. The Scripture clearly prohibits all homosexual sexual behaviors. And so even before you get to the issues of same-sex marriage, the Scripture is very clear about the sinfulness of all homosexual acts. Now, that's in the context of declaring that every single human being is a sinner, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean that we simply resign ourselves to our sinfulness. That points to the need for our need for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the fact that Christ demands not only that we believe in him, but also that we repent of our sins and follow him in faithfulness.
How would you make the secular case to President Obama in favor of natural marriage? With about a minute here, Dr. Mohler.
Well, you know, Todd, the most basic thing is that every government, every society regulates marriage. And the idea that all of a sudden we're going to end discrimination in marriage is just a public lie. We're still, at least at this point, outlawing polygamy. So those who say that they want to marry, in a polygamous relationship, we still outlaw incest. And so the idea that all of a sudden we're allowing all persons to marry as they choose isn't true. The law is still going to discriminate. And the reality is that we've just decided, at least the president, I should say, has decided to move the goalposts of that line of discrimination, and in a way that I think will eventually destroy marriage as an institution. If marriage is simply redefined according to these contemporary calls, it's not going to mean anything whatsoever. It's just going to be like any other contract that you sign, you unsign. It becomes culturally meaningless.
Before we let you go, Dr. Mohler, I wanted to ask you an unrelated question. You've written recently, at the very beginning of this month, a blog post called "Is the Megachurch the New Liberalism?" Getting a lot of reaction to that.
Yes.
What did you want to say there? What was your point?
Well, my point was that if our concern at any time in the culture is that we must come up with whatever message is going to draw the maximum number of people, we are likely to betray the gospel. Now, I'm a member of a very large church, indeed what someone would define as a megachurch. I'm not indicting large churches. I'm indicting the mindset that turns Christianity into a form of marketing and the gospel into a message that we market. If we decide the gospel is a message that we market, we're going to put it out to the market and ask what kind of message they want. That's not evangelism, and that's not gospel faithfulness. I'm thankful for large churches. I'm thankful for small churches. The big issue is I'm most thankful for faithful churches. Large or small.
You'll find a link to Dr. Mohler's website at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Albert Mohler is president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's author of several books, including Culture Shift, Engaging Current Issues with Timeless Truth, and Desire and Deceit, The Real Cost of the New Sexual Tolerance. Dr. Mohler, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, it's always good to be with you. God bless you.
When we come back, George Conger of GetReligion.org will be our guest. We'll talk about media coverage of some splits in the Presbyterian Church USA and the ongoing priestly abuse scandal in Ireland.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues, etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait,